Episode 342, January 22nd, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
From radio, oh, 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 oh. Now in a closet studio, oh, 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 oh. They are Rob and Joe. All the listeners in the chat room, they make Rob mad, mad, mad. But when they slurp our producer, oh, you know it makes them glad, glad. The girls that Joe loves so, they're all too young to vote. He wants them. Oh, time to his bedpost.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rob and Joe Show. This is Joe Robinson without Rob. He just got finished his last show in Kuwait. Tommy Simbazo, Eric Woodworth, Patrick Melton, they're over there. And Rob is actually giving me... what do you call it? I guess bulletin points or feedback, I guess, is better about how it's going over there. And I think I might have said this on the air, Rob. You tell me if I'm wrong about that. But my prediction was that the first show would be a little rocky, second show would be better, and then they would just keep hitting their stride until the end. And that's basically, as it came back to me, is exactly what's going on. Those guys had their first show. There was a few, you know, mistakes or hiccups. It was still a good show. Second show, same thing, a couple hiccups, audio things, you know, lines. We had to go back and re-ask questions of somebody because clues weren't given. And then third, fourth show, I keep hearing crush, crush. They're getting ready to do their fifth show, but they're leaving Kuwait, and I'm very excited, proud of those guys.
Have they done the murder mystery yet?
That's all they've done.
Okay.
Which, again, that's really my preference because it's not that they're not great stand-ups. They are. It's that there are 6,000 stand-up comedians in this country. Now, not all 6,000 are good, but, you know, 500 of them are. And so it's not hard to find people to come up, you know, go to the Middle East and make people laugh. This murder mystery, nobody's doing it. In order to do what we do, you know, it took us 3 years to get here to create this product. And so this is really, if this is something we're going to continue to do, this is what distinguishes us from every other, I don't know, a comedian isn't really any other. Nobody is even thinking of the idea of taking a murder mystery over here, although tons of people are thinking about taking comedy over here, and we're doing something that I don't think anybody else can do.
I agree with you. I can't imagine that people would think that this was something that would work like that, but of course, we know from doing it so many times that of course it will.
Now, I have a man in here with me today, tonight, that needs no introduction. He is a fan favorite, especially of our most vocal fans. But my father, Gramps, is in studio. Gramps, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And
he's
this
my
is
father,
still,
too.
This is still the Rob and Joe Show.
That's right. What does that mean?
Because I'm Rob and you're Joe.
Oh, I got you. Of course, your name would go first. Hey, let me tell a quick story before I start talking to Gramps. I want to know what you think the level of weirdness here is, Robbie. I had some friends over to watch the games yesterday. One of those friends is former show announcer Tim Moran.
It's already funny.
He brought a dozen donuts. He brought all the same flavor. He brought 12 Boston cream donuts. Now, I just want to know, it's not normal, clearly. But what's the level of weirdness there? I mean, obviously, it's not thinking you're a unicorn weird, but it ain't. This isn't perfectly normal behavior, right?
Is that like a flavor that he loves? Do we know?
This is what he said, which I think is interesting. He said that he thought everybody liked Boston cream. But here's the thing. When you get assorted, you know somebody's going to like one of the flavors that you brought. You are at much greater risk when you bring all of one flavor. What if somebody doesn't like chocolate? What if somebody doesn't like the custard? You have no, there's no plan B. You know what Katie did? She ate a donut. You know what she did?
What?
She ate around the custard pocket. She ate the top of the donut, the bottom of the donut. By the way, she tried to make me eat the custard pocket. I'm like, I'm not going to eat that. The whole idea is to get it with the chocolate and with the custard. We're going to have Katie on a little bit later. Maybe she can explain that to us. But anyway, so Gramps is a fixture on the show. His stories usually involve, Gramps, you've worked in the inner city, not just of Baltimore, but of D.C. Yes. How many years?
53 now.
So 53 years, and for some reason, by the way, I'm a professional entertainer. There's been many, many a time that I've walked off stage after an amazing set, and I've certainly walked off stage after a bad set, but then I just leave, where there are just, I've probably run into a place where there are hundreds of people who are very excited about what I have done, and they don't really know my level of celebrity. They think I'm more important than I am. But that has never resulted in a woman showing me her breasts without me asking. With me asking, it hasn't happened either. But it isn't that Gramps is seeing a bunch of tits. It isn't that. It's that he's seeing a bunch of tits and he is not asking to see them. Robbie, in your entire life, has that ever happened to you?
No, not personally breasts offered to me, no.
Now, Gramps, before you tell your story, which I'm sure involves somebody taking their top off, which I don't know anything about it yet, but what do you think it is? Do you think that it's that you're inviting a vibe, that a sexual vibe when you talk to these people?
Well, I've worked with everyone. I don't care if they're ugly or cute. I tell
that's
them
nice of you.
I tell them they're pretty, and I always play that game because it causes them to like me and causes them to take insurance with me, etc. And so it's just something that I do as part of my sales effort.
Well, here are my problems with that. First of all, in the climate that we live in, flirting with somebody doesn't necessarily make them like you. I mean, now, hell, if you flirt with somebody, you don't know if they're going to receive that in a way where they're offended and you're in trouble somehow. But, I mean, we don't need to address all that right now. But my point is that even when I've shown interest in women, I don't understand how that, because obviously you're not asking to see their breasts, but there has to be something underlying that makes them think that's something that you want from them. It wouldn't happen so often otherwise.
Well, first of all, if I talk to 100 women, 99 of them laugh, smile, said, oh, that's so sweet or whatever. If I say they're cute or whatever, once in a while, there's one that doesn't care for it. But I think maybe it's a little different in the inner city than it is in the suburban community.
That seems like a delicate topic, which I probably don't want to involve myself in. All right. So, Gramps, you have a story for us today. Normally, you send these to Rob. But we're actually hearing it firsthand from the source. Robbie, have you heard the story yet?
No, I don't know what he's going to tell.
So, but I'm going to tell you the one I nixed. He told me he had a story about a woman with breast cancer showing him her tits, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, and I nixed that because I was too scared of what might, you know what I mean? And then he said, well, what about this story? And I said, you know what? Don't tell it to me. Let's just hear it organically, and here it is.
I have this family that I've had for about 10 years as clients.
You sell the whole family? Husband, wife, mom, aunt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And I'm going to give you a little background before I get to the story. They had a daughter that was 16 years old at the time that I first insured them. And I always told her how cute she was and played like that in front of her parents. Her mom always referred to her as my girlfriend, and she still does that.
How old is she now?
26.
Okay, so you said that. 10 years. So 16,
right.
Used to flirt with her.
Yeah.
And they were playfully said, your girlfriend's here. It was this 16-year-old girl. Okay.
Right. Whenever she says something about her, she says, your girlfriend said this or done that.
Okay,
you know,
got
so
it.
On. So when she became a senior in high school, and you're going to find trouble believing this, when she became a senior in high school, her mother asked if I would take her to the prom.
What?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Hold on. How long ago was this? 8 years ago.
8 years ago, I was 67 years old at the time.
And she said, but that she couldn't have seriously asked that.
It was for real.
Hold on.
I thought it was a joke.
Hey, wait a minute. Stop.
But it wasn't.
Okay, hold on. She said to a 67-year-old man at the time, this woman said, will you, a 67-year-old white man, take my daughter. You understand that she'd be a laughing stock. It doesn't have anything to do with who you are. You can't take an old white man to that sells you insurance to your prom.
Well, that's exactly why.
Oh, you were nice.
Told her
gotcha.
I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Because I thought it would be detrimental to her. I thought that, but her mother gave me a picture, a prom picture of her.
That was another old white guy?
With another girl. She didn't go with a guy.
Now, hold on. She just went as friends? Because I've seen that before where girls were. Do you think she's...
No, she's not gay. She just went with a friend, yeah. But I told her that her daughter bringing a 67-year-old white guy to the prom would end up having people make fun of her and so on.
Did you ever talk to the daughter?
Not about the prom, no.
Okay, because no. I'm interested in what her take was going to be.
I had a feeling there was a conversation between her and her mother, and her mother was the one doing the asking. But she was serious. It wasn't a joke.
Would you have rented a limo? I would have
driven my Volkswagen Bug.
A lot of people, and I'm not suggesting anything, she was 18 at the time, it sounds like. A lot of people save their first sexual experience for prom night. Robbie, you've heard of that, right?
Of course.
Yeah, that's annoying. Now, nowadays, it's a little, I mean, you know, Robbie and I, we're children of the 80s. It was a little bit different then. Sex was much more taboo than now. I guarantee you that this girl had sex upwards to 1,000 times by the time you took her to the prom. But go ahead. Tell me a finished story.
Well, over the years, I've still continued to play and flirt with her and all that. And now she has two children.
When these kids were born, did they come out bald with a white beard?
No, neither
okay,
one.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was at home, and I got a text from her, which said, which, by the way, had never happened before. And she said, "What are you doing?" I texted, "Drinking coffee and watching TV." And she said that she was, too. And I said, "Well, you see how much we have in common?" And then she texted, "Do you like me?"
Oh, my God.
And I said, "Of course I do."
How long ago is this?
This has only been 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, my God. What? 3 or 4 days ago?
Yes. And she said, "What do you like about me?"
Oh, my God. And Wait a minute, hold on. I need to stop. There's nothing in between. This comes out of nowhere.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
And when she said, "What do you like about me?" I said, "Everything." And then she said, "What would you like to do to me?" I suddenly realized where it was going, and I diplomatically backed off so that it wouldn't hurt her feelings or make her angry.
How did you do that? How did you diplomatically back off? Well, she said, "What would you like to do to me?" And you said...
Well, I don't remember what I said, but I just started...
"I would like to sell you more insurance, young lady."
I just started in a different direction. But now I'm concerned about another text coming, and when a 26-year-old woman such thoughts about you, you must really be a chick magnet.
Hold on.
Dad, that's called a sext, not a text.
I don't believe you can be objective, Dad. I don't. I think you see yourself as much younger than you are. Look, you're hilarious, right? You're a good guy. But you're not sexy. I'm not going to be sexy at 75 years old either. That's not going to happen. So obviously... Listen, this lady is not laying around thinking about you banging her. That doesn't make any sense to me. Robbie, before Dad reacts, because I know what he thinks is not going to be, I'm going to highly disagree with this. What do you think, Robbie?
I think this girl was looking for a sext partner that day. She was in the mood for it, and she thought Gramps would be a good candidate for that.
Wait a minute.
I think Robbie's exactly right.
Whether she's looking for more than that is another question.
I need you to describe this woman. I need you to describe her.
Yeah, she's average looking. She's not beautiful or anything.
Okay, sorry. Shouldn't fit in your wheelhouse. Tens.
Giant boobs.
So she's an average looking woman with giant boobs.
Yes. And two children.
and she's laying around at night. And by the way, you're asleep by 9 o'clock.
No, this was morning. This was I was sitting downstairs drinking coffee and watching
TV.
Wait
a second, Dad. So a 26-year-old, by the way, Katie's 27. Just to give you perspective, okay? She'll be 28 next month. So this woman is sitting around in the morning. Is it before noon? Is it breakfast time?
Yes, it's before I went to work. It was probably 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, no. I think she's a prostitute, Dad.
Well, no, she works at not a McDonald's, but one of the fast food restaurants.
I help people get Social Security disability. Many of these people are in the exact same income and demographic that your clients are. I'm at work at 8:30. As a matter of fact, I'm at work at 7. I have never in my entire life gotten a call from a client offering me sex. Never. Robbie, you sell signs, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But you probably don't flirt with your clients and have that kind of
no, but
fun
you know what
relationship.
I do? No, you're right that I don't flirt with them. But I'm a funny guy. So I definitely try to make people laugh. I definitely try to endear myself to people for no other reason other than that's how I communicate in general. Now, maybe I'm not as flirtatious. I don't say, am I as good looking as you thought I'd be? I don't say any of that stuff. I don't inject sex into the conversation. And maybe that's it. When I'm not saying sex, I'm talking about romance, anything. Because if you discuss somebody's physical attractiveness or anything like that, there is an undertone. There is. But I find it extremely hard to believe that she's horny at 8:30 in the morning and she doesn't have a list of guys that will come over and have sex with her.
Let me tell you that a few times when I have said, are you in love with me yet? Or just that kind of thing. You know I have a boyfriend, she says, or something like that. Well, I have a feeling that she doesn't have a boyfriend anymore. And that may be the reason why she's trying to open a door. I don't know.
Wow. Well, Gramps, you know she should go on to is the website Our Time, where she can just choose from countless numbers of old men that want to come over. And they're single, the people on Our Time. Are you familiar with Our Time?
No.
Okay. Our Time is a dating website for seniors. Heaven forbid anything either happened to you or Aunt Tish, heaven forbid, then the survivor can go right onto that site and start finding
well,
some...
I won't be on there, I promise.
All right, so there's your story. Robbie, any you have anything to add?
It's startling, but I totally believe that this woman was sitting there thinking, you know, that guy, maybe... She felt it was safe to flirt back and have a little interaction with him on phone. Again, I don't know if she would have gone any further than that, but I feel like she thought that was a safe, fun thing for her to do when she doesn't have a boyfriend. Dad is not somebody who's ever going to be in the friend zone because he's flirting with everybody from the get. I would get fired if I did that. I would get fired if I did stuff like that with my customers.
Listen to me. I know that I date a 10, and I know she's much younger, but... Heaven forbid anything happened to Katie. I'm never going to be able to land another Katie. This is one in a million. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to be able to go out and say, hey, are there any 28-year-old 10s that want to buy a house with me and eventually spend the rest of their lives with me? That's not going to happen. But Dad, he can't even walk down the street without seeing a nip. Anyway, whatever.
I doubt they're 10s, Joe.
So I wanted to... tell a few Graham stories of my own. Some of them we've told on the air, but I would like for my father to kind of explain some of his behavior. Now, I don't even know if my dad remembers this, but he often tells a story about how he'd come up to our room. Remember, Robbie, when you and I used to live in the attic in the house in Chevrolet?
Yes.
By the way, I remember our phone number in Chevrolet. We moved from Chevrolet in 1976. Do you remember the phone number, Robbie?
No, but I remember the address.
Of course you remember the address. Anyway, the phone number was 772-1588, just in case you wanted to know. There were no area codes back then.
Yeah, you didn't have to dial area code.
I thought I'd get more credit from that.
No, that's good. I'm very impressed. You remember crazy stuff.
Thanks, man.
I don't know if people know that we used to live in Chevrolet when we were kids.
But what my dad used to do is, Robbie and I, we used to sleep in the attic. By the way, this wasn't a punishment. This wasn't like an Anne Frank or Harry Potter situation. That's just where our room was together. That's where we slept. So... my father used to come up sometimes. I don't know if it's put us to bed or whatever, but my father used to then lecture us on morality and things, the way to live life. Of course, I'm a child, Robbie, but do you remember the duration of those things? I remember them lasting sometimes up to 30 minutes.
I think you're overstating a bit. That's
so funny because I do not have a recollection of this. I remember when we were in the downstairs with bunk beds and he would throw the glow-in-the-dark Frisbee around with us. I remember that.
Yeah, now that was even... because remember, we moved upstairs when I was about 5 years old. But there's two memories I have about the downstairs, and I'm going to say my father remembers these. One was we had one of our relatives, it might have been little Charlie, but it might have been Eddie, but one of our cousins was visiting us, and we slept in that bunk bedroom. We started throwing crayons around. Do you remember that, Robbie?
Yes, I do. The ones that were shaped like
fruit and vegetables, right. Do you remember this, Dad?
I don't remember that.
Well, there ended up being marks all over the wall. So I remember that because, you know, we back then you got in trouble. There was no, we'll let this one slide. You got in trouble for that. My other memory is I was pissing the bed up until I was like 4 years old. Okay. And so I remember that because they bought me a buzzer sheet. This is true. When I was four, they bought me a buzzer sheet. And guess how many times I pissed the bed after I got that buzzer sheet?
One time.
Once. That buzzer only had to go off one time, and then I realized it was time to get up. No more thanks for that, by the way, Dad. But the thing I remember is...
Will you explain the buzzer sheet for people? Because I think people think you might have got electrical shock.
No, no. This is what happened. They put a sheet. I think most people do know this. And if that sheet gets wet, it sounds an alarm. It's basically to get kids who shouldn't be pissing the bed anymore to stop. And it worked. Believe me. It was. I still remember the terror to this day. And by the way, back then... You weren't making sure that children were coddled in any way. This was like, fuck these kids. They're not going to piss the bed anymore. We are going to scare the shit out of them. And that's exactly what this buzzer was for. By the way, knowing how cheap Dad is, when I used it one time and then I never used it again, were you mad that you invested that money in it?
No, not at all.
Okay, I was just curious. You get the use out of it. But one thing, tell me if you remember this. The very first D I ever got in my life was in home ec. Maybe it wasn't home ec. I'm trying to remember. I got an intern for home ec. I ended up getting a C. I don't know. I brought home a D one time. And I remember that was the longest lecture I ever got. And I remember where I was sitting. That was when we were in the, where the living room is upstairs now where we put the Christmas tree. I was sitting there and my dad told me I was going to be a ditch digger. Do you remember that? You remember telling me that?
No, I don't recall that.
Yes. He said I was going to be a ditch digger. And by the way, now that I think about it, you know, if I had learned a trade, I mean, maybe I'd be much better off. If I was digging ditches, you know, who knows where I could have been. The sky could have been the limit if I was kind of a general contractor or somebody that was able to dig a ditch.
I'll tell you one thing. You wouldn't have that beauty in your life.
If I was a ditch digger?
Yes.
No, she would certainly. She would love me regardless. That wouldn't mean that
you would. You wouldn't even have met her.
I'd probably be in a lot better shape if I was a ditch digger. So anyway, he doesn't remember that. Now, I know some of the things he will remember because I've discussed them many a time. The first thing is, one time, Robbie was getting shit at the bus stop from a kid that lived across the street.
Oh, I remember this.
We told this story.
Yes. And just to refresh everyone's memory, my father told my brother to go out to the bus stop, and as soon as this kid said the first word to him, to punch him right in the face. Now, I believe you did that, right, Robbie? Or did you grab him, or did you punch him?
I wrestled him to the ground.
Yeah. And they were wrestling, and my dad went out, and I go, oh, good, he's going to break this fight up. And by the way, that would have worked. If he would have stood up to the bully and it would have worked and they were separated, that would have been fine. You know there are consequences. But Dad was standing outside the fight going, come on, Robbie, you can do it. Come on. And then finally, this kid's mom came out, and then the mom of the other kid broke up the fight.
I was bullied in junior high and high school. Three guys who used to just hit me in the stomach every time they passed me and all that kind of thing. And one day I ended up in a fight with one of them and I beat the crap out of him. And then I went and hunted the other two down and did the same thing. And I realized that bullies will stop bullying you as soon as you face them down. And that's why when Robbie was being bullied by this kid.
No, I didn't mind you telling him to punch the kid in the face. I was just wondering after he did. Why you stood over him. Was Robbie getting the upper hand? I guess he was.
They were basically wrestling. They weren't getting anywhere.
Right.
But I did not want to stop it and make the other kid feel like he could have won if he'd have stayed in.
Gotcha. So. Now, the other thing I remember, and I don't know if I've talked about this on the air. I don't even know if Katie knows this. When I got my driver's license, I was going to a party, and... I was trying to catch up to some kids who had gone through the light because I didn't know how to get to the place where we were going. And I was doing 85 and a 55. By the way, I was on what is now 97, okay? And, of course, I got pulled over and I got a ticket. And, Katie, what do you think the duration of my punishment was? This is the amount of time that I was not allowed to leave the house. Would you like to – this is for a speeding ticket. How long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, please. So for 90 days. 90 days, I was punished. Now, listen, by the way, this is from a guy who's been pulled over for speeding 100 times, okay?
Just because I get speeding tickets doesn't mean I want my kids together.
90 days, and by the way, the time without the car, I couldn't even, listen to this, I had a job. I was allowed to go to my job, but somebody else had to drive me to my job. The punishment was, it was 90 days I couldn't go out. And then I believe it was in those 90 days I had to get a ride to work. And then after the 90 days, I could only drive 2 or 6 months.
It may have been a bit extreme, but it worked.
Well, what do you mean it worked? I don't understand what you mean. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a speeder. I never have been.
You were then.
No, I was not. By the way, Katie has been in the car with me. Obviously, you know, you could say that it worked. Maybe it did. But when I'm in a hurry to get somewhere, I drive fast. If I have to, I will drive fast, just like I did then.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a bad driver, though, and there's nothing I can do about that. All right. Now, here's one other thing. And Robbie, tell me if you remember this. There were 40 oak trees in our yard. Robbie and I were responsible for, by the way, my father was a great dad. He doesn't like me telling these stories because they're very one-sided. He was a great dad. But there were 40 oak trees. And I think my father, who was raised in a very poor rural environment, felt like I needed to learn these life lessons. So what we used to do is Robbie and I were responsible for raking the entire yard. Now, I was a small child. Do you remember, Robbie, when it was fall? We had to literally work all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Do you remember
it was,
that?
It was intense, raking all those leaves.
It was all day. We literally would never stop working. And then you know what would happen the next week?
All over again.
All the leaves were all over again. Now, that I talk about that all the time and make fun of it. Obviously, if there are chores I have them. But here's what I love. As soon as we stopped raking the yard, as soon as his slave labor had stopped, he went out and bought some $10,000 worth of lawn equipment and cut down half the trees. Robbie? So all these, it's like, oh, shit, this is hard. So as soon as he had to do it once, he was like, oh, man, now maybe I know what he's talking about. But he got a leaf blower and a leaf vac and a mulcher and all these other. Hey, you know what else, Robbie? That mulch bed. There's a little area where Dad throws the leaves.
Yeah, the composting pile.
That didn't exist. Yeah. Robbie and I used to have to take those leaves.
Bag them.
Well, no, remember we used to take them in a blanket.
You dumped them that vacant lot.
And we'd have to carry it all the way back into this vacant lot. So you don't need to defend making us do this slave labor. You don't have to defend that. What I want to know is, was there ever a moment in your mind when you started doing this on your own that you were like, man, that was a lot of work for those two little kids? Did that ever enter into your mind?
Well, let me back it up for a moment and tell you that when I was growing
up,
we had gardens and we had cornfields and that sort of thing at my grandmother's farm, and I had to go up there and hoe the weeds, and I still have a scar where I was whetting a scythe, and I did all of that kind of thing. And so having you work didn't seem like a bad thing, but I'm going to say this. You and Robbie are both very hardworking people now, and I think that if I had to just let you lounge around and not do anything, that wouldn't happen.
So here's the thing. 99%, Katie will agree with this, of my work is non-physical. It's non-physical. I don't have this great work ethic in terms of physicality. As a matter of fact, we got a bunch of furniture. Some of this furniture needs to be put together. And I realize that every single time I put the furniture together, if I'm sitting on the floor for like an hour, I literally can't roll over in my bed. My back is so bad, messed up from that. And I wonder if it's all those years of raking. No, I'm just kidding. But the point that I'm trying to make is that physically, that's not for me. No, of course
I wasn't talking about physically. I was just talking about
thank you for creating that work ethic. You definitely did create I am a hard worker. That is true. But I guess I want to know about when you started raking on your own, did the amount of work, the amount of effort that it took to clean that yard up, was that, how involved in that is the decision to cut half those trees down and also to buy all that equipment that wasn't available to Robbie and I? By the way, Robbie left before me, so I had to do it on my own for a long time.
I'm not sure that's true, but nevertheless, I never thought in those terms, but I have thought over the years with the leaves that I have to clean up and everything, how difficult that had to be for you guys. And so I maybe did overdo it a little bit.
Now you're making me feel bad.
Can I draw another comparison to almost exact same thing you're talking about? When we were growing up, I would have rather raked 100 yards of leaves as opposed to stacking two cords of wood.
And now they own a pellet stove. No, I hear
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yes.
No more wood.
Yeah. I forgot. You know, I remember that. The wood that he got, they couldn't park in the driveway because there was so much wood. And I got poison ivy one year. Do you remember that? From the wood that we had to stack. But you're right. That was also, remember what we used to do, Rob? We used to have to make them. We have to create the ends. My father was good at the instructions. Here's how you make the end. He would literally lay the first six pieces of wood down so we understood. And then he brushed his hands and he went back into the house.
Oh, now listen, I stacked plenty of that wood myself.
Good, good. You should have. All right, now, here's the thing. We were just talking about this. Now, I believe that I have some very good qualities. I think I have some bad qualities. But I want to know, Dad, you see me as a man. What do you think that I took from you that you're like, that's me, and the reason that he's doing that is because of my influence, both good and bad? I'm interested in what you think.
Well, your sense of humor, I think, is one thing that you inherited from me.
Yeah, my dad was a class clown, for those of you guys who didn't know. Now, it was a class of eight, but nevertheless.
No, it was a class
was
of
funniest,
30.
He was the funniest of those 30.
And it was the wittiest, not the class clown.
Hey, do you know who was the class clown for the year I graduated high school?
Was it you?
It was not. It was Tim Moran, former show announcer.
Oh, my God.
and I will say this. There he is. If you're in the room, Tim is always the funniest person in the room.
Agreed.
Any okay. room, Tim is the funniest. So,
unless it's only two people in the room.
I do believe that my placing importance on humor came from you. Yeah, I do. I don't think our sense of humor is very similar, but we both place importance on it.
Yep.
All right, good. Keep going.
Nothing really comes in my mind. I've never really thought, other than your sense of humor, what you may have gotten from me. One thing I hope you get from me is my father's family all lived very long years.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Hopefully that's going to be an inheritance from us.
We were talking about that, and we're going to have Katie on in a little while, but I do hope I live long, but also I hope I live long and
healthy.
Not just healthy. I mean, I want to be with it because Katie, you know, when she's my age, I'm going to be 70 years old.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, I hope I'm really with it and, you know, and still fun and have it all together. Cause again, you know, Katie will be wiping my ass in the net 10 years after that. So I feel
I know
bad
she's
for
she's looking
her.
Forward to that.
Well, that's just something she signed up for. I mean, if you're going to, you got to take the good with the bad. And
well, she might want to start practicing now.
So that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard you say.
Well, I'll tell you that I feel 100% functional. I have a memory loss, just so many things, people I don't remember and so on. And I have a hearing loss, but that doesn't have anything to do with age. But other than that, I'm pretty functional for a guy my age.
You sit around a lot more than I wish you did.
And so do I wish I had, you know,
now,
did more.
But the only exercise he really gets is walking around the downtown
Baltimore.
Yeah,
but that's not really exercise because he has to stay close to his car because every single documentary about crime is about Baltimore. People are dying every single day.
I don't stay close to my car, and I have so many people I see on a third floor I have to walk up three flights of stairs. And now, so I do get a little bit of exercise.
Now, I saw Aunt Mom got you some weights for
yes,
Christmas.
I
now,
asked for them.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. How many times have you used them?
Six, seven times.
Okay. I'm just saying it's right after. Now's the wheelhouse time. You won't use them more than you're using them right now.
Well, hopefully I'll create a habit.
Yeah. No, I hope you do too. All right. I felt like I was picking on Gramps. I was trying to say I need something to build him up at the end. But I love my father. So does the audience, by the way. He's a fan favorite. We have a spot that we just recorded with Gramps, and he's a, you know, Gramps is with it in terms of broadcasting. Don't you agree, Robbie? He can.
Yes, he knows how to make a speech. He knows how to deliver
a line. He knows how to deliver a line. I remember one time Gramps took us to some, he was a union, what were you, president? I don't know what you were.
President of the local
right,
union.
Right. And he took us to one of his meetings, and he was screaming at people, and I thought, geez, I know what that feels like. But anyway, he was telling them they were going to be ditch diggers, and I think they stepped two. Anyway,
and by the way, I'll tell you who won't be happy if you criticize me, and that's Mac Bergson.
Yes, no, I understand. Mac is not going to like anything that happened at your expense. So sorry, Mac, in advance.
I do want to wish him a happy birthday on the air, just so everybody knows. And he may be your brother one day. I'm thinking about adopting him.
Okay, I was thinking you could adopt a 40-year-old man, but regardless. All right, well, that's it. Thanks, Gramps. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, Friday, January 26th at Amp by Strathmore in Bethesda. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
All right, we're back, and I'm joined this time by girlfriend Katie, mentioned many times on this show. I did a show this past weekend for the Polar Bear Plunge. I'm a do-gooder. Katie was there. And what I mentioned on there, I think you know this too, Robbie, is that when you Google my name, and of course everybody Googles their own name, the second most searched item, Robbie, you know what it is, right?
Yes.
Joe Robinson's girlfriend. That's the second. So people are very interested in what she looks like because people always say how hot she is, but she's also hilarious. She also has a very, very good personality. That's what I really like about her personality.
Hello.
So I want to talk to Katie about a few things because I'm not able to say these things directly to her, but if I disguise it in as part of the show, then I'm able to kind of get some of the stuff off my chest that's been bothering me. So the first thing we're going to do is I'm just wondering, Katie, because I'm going to tell you my pet peeves about you, but what are your, do you have any pet peeves about things that I do?
I do.
Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second. I want to see how harsh you are first.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. This is my number two pet peeve. I'm not going to go with my number one. My number one I'm saving. Katie drives everywhere we go because I'm a horrible driver, okay? But I acknowledge I'm not a good driver. I'm a distracted driver. But the thing that she does two things when she drives that drives me crazy. One thing she knows she does, and that's when she parks, she gets out of the car and starts walking to where she's going. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. I could have not have my shoes on. I could be whatever. I could be finishing up. Doesn't matter. She starts walking at the pace that she thinks I should be walking. Sometimes she's 30 feet in front of me. She's in the store.
My girlfriend does the same thing.
But listen,
she's out of that car halfway to the store. And I'm like, whoa, I don't get all my stuff.
I understand. But it's cold sometimes.
But what about when it's not?
Then we have places to be.
No, I'm just saying that makes me crazy. But the other thing she does, which I don't even know if she knows it makes me crazy. She drives every time. We're going to the car. She hits the button to unlock her side. Now, if she hits it twice, my door's unlocked. If she hits it twice. Every single time she clicks it once. She gets in her car, makes me stand there. I try the handle three times. Then she manually unlocks it. If she would just literally hit the same button that she hits to get herself in the car, all she got to do is go bup, bup, instead of bup. I'm not kidding. It is literally an eighth of a second. She will not do it. I stand out there every time. She gets her, shuffles her jacket around, gets her whatever, and then she lets me in every single time.
I didn't even know I did that.
Yeah, every time, 100%.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to defend it. All right.
No, I mean, there's no defense. I can't leave you out in the cold.
What are you defending walking into the store when I'm...
No, I'm not actually. Right. I'm not going to change that, but I will change the other one.
Oh, thanks.
So, do you want me to do mine now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that bad? That wasn't bad, right?
No, that wasn't bad. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. All I need to change mine now.
Oh, God. Is it way harsh?
No. I think that the biggest thing... There's two. I'm going to do two.
Two? Well, I'm going to have another one. You want to do one, and then I'll do one, and then you get the hammer? Or do you want to do two right now, and I get the hammer?
I'll do my two, and then you finish it off. Okay. So, there's one thing that you do every single morning. You know what I'm going to
yeah,
say?
Yeah, I do know.
Let me okay. explain it because you're going to make it sound, you're going to defend it.
Okay.
You spit.
Yes.
About 7,000 times.
Yes.
Between the time you get out of bed, brushing your teeth, in the shower, and it's not like little spits. It's hacking.
I've heard this.
You have. Okay.
Maybe,
so Robbie knows what I'm talking
about.
Maybe
I'm dying. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, no.
Maybe you should be worried about
me. What I want to know is, what are you doing? Like, what are you spitting up?
Yeah, well, I don't know the answer to that. No, so real quick, we are going to give each other a test later. And one of the questions was, what's my most irritating habit? And I put spitting in
there. Yeah, no, that's what I put.
Yeah, I put spitting because I knew there's a possibility you were going to say snoring, but that's not a habit. That's a medical condition. But spitting, yes. And I wish I could go back. I've been spitting now for 40 years.
Is it spitting, though?
Well, there's something coming out.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't spit any other time of the day.
It's also after you go to the bathroom. Anytime you pee.
Yeah, you're right.
You always spit. I mean, it's like, it's a routine. It's not, I don't even think it's medical. I think it's an actual routine.
No, you mean like some sort of OCD thing.
OCD, yes.
Oh, I agree, but I feel something and something comes out.
Yeah.
But you're right. Every single time I'm near a toilet or a sink, even mm-hmm. when I go to the bathroom at work, I never spit. Go into the bathroom, go to the bathroom, spit every time. I wish I didn't. Here's the thing. Katie's like, God, can you stop doing that? And then I try to curb it, and then over time I'm back, I'm spitting again.
And it's fine. It's just so loud.
Yeah, I know.
That it's just the volume, I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One time, my brother goes, Joe, get in here. Okay, he was mad. There was, do you remember this? There's gel in the sink. He thought it was spit.
It was not hair gel. It was disgusting.
It was gel. It was literally gel. No, I'm not kidding. Robbie, that's gel. But
he. I know the difference between hair gel
and. No. Rob, you're pulling a dad right now. You didn't make that argument at the time. When it happened, you acknowledged that it was gel. You can't now, 20 years later, 25 years later, pretend that it wasn't. It was gel. And I'm not saying.
I was probably being nice and letting you off the hook.
Robbie, you were not being nice. Robbie, that's ridiculous. You weren't. You literally got me up out of bed to clean it out. So that you weren't being nice. That's ridiculous. It wasn't spit. It was gel. But by the way, if it was spit, I just told a story that I pissed the bed and they had to give me a buzzer sheet. I'm not revealing shit. It wasn't spit. Anyway, go ahead. What's the other thing?
The other thing is we go see a lot of movies.
We do. I think we've seen 5 movies since we got MoviePass.
We absolutely see the most movies by 10 times anyone else that I know. Anyone else.
Have you seen 3 Billboards yet?
No, it's not really playing a lot of places. We found it, but we it hasn't been super convenient.
Yeah, I watched it on the Fire Stick.
You stole it. Okay.
One thing that we do every time we see a movie is we get popcorn. There's never a time we go to the movies and we don't get popcorn.
Right.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
No, I don't.
Okay. The way that you eat your popcorn,
yes, I put a big
is
fistful.
One of the most irritating acts that you do.
Before you describe it, Robbie, do you know what she's talking about?
This one I don't know. I know the spitting thing. This I don't know.
Okay. So when you eat your popcorn, I usually take like a small fistful and just pop them in my mouth. Joe will take the largest fistful and then It's like a contest to see how much of it he can put in his mouth at once, and he shoves it in his mouth, shovels it, and it falls everywhere, and it makes a noise, and then he tries to chew it up, and then he goes in for the next one. So it's like a claw machine,
so,
and it's very irritating.
Can I say this? Yeah. And just like the spitting, I started trying to eat it one kernel at a time, and now I'm back to the fistful.
I'm not even asking for one kernel at a time. I'm asking for a reasonable fistful.
What's reasonable?
5 or 6 at a time?
All right.
Can you try it?
6 at a time I can live with.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
So here's my last pet peeve. When we are out in public, Katie, especially when she's driving, will be very aggressive towards other people. And what she doesn't realize is that if there's a fight, I'm going to get the shit kicked out. She's not going to be involved, right? She'll honk. She'll flip people off. She'll say things. She's very entitled in a car, especially to, like, if somebody makes a mistake, by the way, don't make a mistake around her. She will lay on her horn, tell you to go fuck yourself, right? But the problem is that sometimes it's in a parking lot. We're parking. So that means I have to get out. And whatever, you know, Taekwondo master she decided to flip off, now I'm literally standing awkwardly looking at that guy trying to defend. Now, this is this is what happened. We were at a Japanese steakhouse, and we're sitting at an L, okay? On the long part of the L is a couple and me, and then on the right angle is Katie. So imagine Katie is the bottom of the L, and the three, I'm the lengthwise. there's these two people that are sitting next to us. Now, these people, the girl was from Jersey. She was pretty annoying. She was very annoying. She called herself a MILF, which is kind of funny because we decide if you're a MILF. You don't get to decide that I want to fuck. I can't say I'm a DILF. I'm a dad that you want to fuck. So that doesn't work. It doesn't matter. And the boyfriend was a moron. He was explaining how Pat Mahomes was better than Tom Brady. You don't even know who Pat Mahomes is. Doesn't matter. He's the backup for Kansas City.
I know Pat McGroin.
Right.
So, he's also in the military.
Yeah, and these people were very annoying. But Katie, and by the way, think about this. This guy was in the Army. He's all tatted up. He's wearing a ski cap indoors. He's the kind of guy that I don't really want to be in an argument with. I certainly don't want to be in a physical altercation with him. And Katie looks at me and goes, I don't like those people. Now, if I can hear you, the guy that's 16 inches away can also hear you. So I look at her, I go, can you text me, please? Can you not have... By the way, the guy's still doing the trick where he's throwing a broccoli in your mouth. They're still throwing the egg in their hat. That's when she's saying, I hate these people who damn well can hear every word that she's saying. Now, luckily, somehow...
Can I defend myself?
Yeah.
Okay. She was trying to have sex with me.
Okay, yes, but that's... Does that mean I have to get beat up?
No, but clearly she was making passes, and I was very uncomfortable, and I don't normally get uncomfortable.
You weren't uncomfortable.
I know, but I'm just trying to defend myself a little bit. I wasn't uncomfortable at all.
Anyway, well, I think I got... Well, will you try to not get me beat up?
Yeah, I'll try. But I will say I have gotten a lot more aggressive.
Yeah, why? Because of me?
I don't know. I think maybe I just feel more entitled. I shouldn't be like that, but I'll try harder. I apologize.
Aw, thanks.
You've never gotten beat up, though.
No, that's so right now, if we fix it before that happens, and that's, you know,
is this
ideal.
Like the Rob thing where we're going to try to make a change, even though it's like a once in a million sort of situation, checking the binders?
You think that that's rare? Because you honk at people in traffic a lot. Matter of fact, Robbie, we want to guess the last time Katie was flipped off in a parking lot. Would you like to guess?
Today.
It was yesterday. We weren't in a parking. Yesterday, she was pulling up. This lady just pulled out of her spot. The lady needed to go around. She was looking at us like, are you going to move? And Katie started yelling at her, and she flipped us off. And we parked. Luckily, it was a lady and her small child.
I wish my girlfriend was more like Katie in that respect.
Thank you, Robbie.
I'm the one who's the aggressive one, and my girlfriend's always the one to calm me down because I'm policing everybody, laying on my horn at every turn.
You know what? Aggressive people succeed in life. That's how you get where you want to go.
She also, Katie's a very good parker, and I'm a first spot guy. I don't want to be driving around following people. I'd rather park far away, but I need to learn how to just trust her because she always finds a great spot. So I kind of not suggest, but really,
here's
a funny
thing.
Go ahead.
My girlfriend pointed out to me the other day. We go to the mall to walk.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she does know, but it doesn't make me look good.
That's hot. That's super hot.
But she,
are you like Gramps? People are always flashing their tits at you when you're mall walking.
Sounds like foreplay.
We try to find the closest spot we can because then we're close to the door of the mall. But we went there to walk. It doesn't make
any
sense.
Yeah, but when you mall walk, don't you go early in the morning, Robbie?
We have, but it just depends.
All right.
Are you the youngest people walking?
Yeah. I think there's some people who are close to our age. You know, we're both 50 years old.
I feel like I could walk around the world.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like I could never stop walking. I would never get tired from walking.
But that is an old people thing to do. I mean, for instance,
100%.
On Saturday night, Joe and I went to see a cover band. It was like a Tom Petty, Journey,
John Mellencamp. Yes.
We saw a cover band. And I was the youngest person by, what, 10 years, 15 years?
Yeah, 15 is being generous.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was weird. The guy that was who was doing the Tom Petty, he put a blonde wig on. And it'd be the equivalent of Haywood Turnipseed Jr. putting a blonde wig on. I mean, it doesn't make you look like Tom Petty. You just look like a fucking jackass. Just sing the songs. We don't care. I'm not suspending reality and thinking you're Tom Petty. I know that you're a fat guy from Annapolis or whatever, and you just happen to be, you know, saying, hey, there was a guy, the guy that sang Journey. Tell me if this sounds normal, Robbie. They did 6 Tom Petty songs, took an intermission, did 12 Journey songs. 12.
That makes no sense.
I mean, I was looking at the set list, and I'm like, you know, most of these songs suck ass.
Yeah, and they crossed out the best songs because of time.
Yeah, on the Tom Petty, yeah, they crossed out Breakdown. They crossed out...
You Wreck Me.
You Wreck Me. They. What else did they cross out?
You Don't Know How It Feels? Is that the other one?
I don't know, but they crossed out some great songs. And they, not that, I mean, I wanted to hear the Petty songs they did. They did Stop Dragging My Heart Around with some girl that played the bass. So, I mean, it was pretty cool. But six songs, they crossed out a bunch of Petty. And then they sang the first song that they, Journey song they sang, I didn't even know it. If you're singing 12 Journey songs, you're singing every song, right? I mean, how many songs do they have?
About 12.
Yeah. And they, now, the one thing about Journey is, I mean, it's all kind of 80s power rock or whatever, you know, pop rock. But those songs are kind of hard to sing because Steve Perry, you know, even though he's a jackass, he did have an incredible voice. So if you're going to be singing them, you better have some chops. What do you think this guy was drinking? Katie acted like it was perfectly normal, but...
Well, I had seen it before.
What was this guy drinking who was trying to sing Steve Perry songs, Robbie?
Milk.
No.
That would have been more normal, actually.
He was drinking olive oil.
Ugh.
On stage. Straight out of the olive oil bottle. He sounded okay. He had a lot of echo on his mic, but anyway, all right. Well, look, the takeaways are I will definitely try to curb my spitting. I mean, that's a long ingrained thing, but I will try to do that. The good thing is since I've been working out, I've been showering at work.
No, that's a good point, yeah.
So most of my spitting has been done at work, and I spit a lot there, too.
Well, I will really make a conscious effort
To not get
you beat up.
Oh, thanks.
And I will...
you hit that button twice?
I will unlock the car as soon as possible.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
The spitting thing he's been doing since he was in his teens, so I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon.
I don't know what that is. And again, people don't know that I spit because they're usually not there in the morning when I wake up. So some people, like Rob, he doesn't even know I'm a spitter.
Maybe it's how you got your beautiful voice.
Thanks. So Katie and I are going to take a compatibility quiz at the end because, you know, and the things that we've discussed on here, it's no secret. It's public. Katie and I are getting ready to make moves that's it. We're together forever.
It's the year of us.
That's right. But I'm much older than you.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm being honest, I don't even notice it. I make jokes about it because other people do, but we act very similar. We like similar things. Yeah, I don't like Cardi B, but for the most part, we like the same thing.
Yeah, I definitely think that I make more jokes about it around people my age so that they don't feel weird. Like when we hang out with people who are my age, for instance, Friday night, we went out with a bunch of my coworkers. And some of them work for me, some of them work with me, and they were all between the ages of 25 and 30. And, I mean, you have to address it, right? You have to at least...
Yeah, like, I know there's an old man sitting here.
I mean, you look like a chaperone.
I know. I see that it looks like I brought my dad.
Yeah.
No, but I think, and maybe I'm jaded, I feel like I do really well in those circumstances.
So, there are times that I don't notice it, and that's most of the time.
Right.
I never notice it. I mean, there's certain times maybe when you're struggling to get out of bed or something like
spitting.
That. Or I'm like, okay, yeah. But here are some of the things. I actually wrote some of these down. Here are the times where I realize how old you are.
Okay.
So you don't do this anymore, but you used to do this all the time. It made me crazy. You would call me and if I didn't answer, you'd leave me a voicemail.
Yeah, I stopped doing that. A voicemail.
Nobody leaves a voicemail. We have caller ID now. You just
we
call
have
back.
Text. I get it. Sorry about that. I yeah, those days. I probably haven't left you a voicemail in 3 years.
Yeah, but you did.
Okay.
So.
But that made you know I was old because I was leaving voicemails.
Yeah.
Robbie, do you leave voicemails?
No, but I've always been that way. I just hang up.
So the next one I wrote is he plays solitaire. He enjoys playing solitaire.
That's true. So. On my phone, I don't have Facebook anymore. I don't have Instagram. The only thing I have is Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've removed social media, every once in a while, I need like a little time killer or an unwind. And she's right. So I thought, remember I was playing that game? It was like that fantasy game where the guy was the king and he took it seriously. So that game, I actually took off my phone because I realized...
Yeah, but you had that when you had Facebook. So it wasn't like a... void. You weren't
filling
a void.
Oh, no, you're right. But I eventually did take it off. I did still have that on my phone.
By the way, these are just things that make me realize you're old. It's not that you're using something for time. It's the game that you've chosen.
I got you. The fact that I'm playing solitaire at all.
Correct.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. One time, I had to explain to you who Salt Bae was. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't. Do you know who that is, Robbie?
No, I know Cardi B. No, I do not know Salt Bae.
No, Salt Bae. Okay, I'm not. It's fine. You can Google it.
Okay, but maybe I don't know who Salt Bae is. I thought it was actually an expression for when you put salt on something.
No.
Okay. All right. I mean, is it crazy? Do you think everybody in their 20s knows who Salt Bae is?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know.
The last thing I wrote is he makes me turn the volume up or down. So volume up when we're watching a movie or TV because he can't hear shit. And I have to turn the volume down in the car on the radio because it's too loud.
So it's fine. I'm going to bring this up. I should have put this in my pet peeve. Sometimes I will just sit there and not know what's going on a TV show because I know if I want to turn it up, she's going to make fun of me or yell at me for being, but I can't hear. What am I supposed to do? I swear, the other day, I was looking for the closed caption on the feed. Here's why. Because sometimes she'll go to sleep and go, can you turn it down? And I literally feel like going, I can't fucking hear. If I turn it down, I won't know what's going on. And like the show The Killing, which I watched, I know there's a few episodes where I just missed half the episode because I was too scared to tell her I wanted to turn it up. But I think you can do closed caption. It doesn't matter if it's Netflix or anything like that. We can do closed caption, right? Because I remember Landlord Phil, remember he always kept closed caption on?
Yeah, that's annoying.
I mean, we got to come to a compromise or okay. You have to explain it to me.
Again, these are just things that make me realize. It's not that I don't allow you to turn it up or down. I just, that's kind of when it pops in my head.
I worry because, remember when we lived with Aunt Mom and my dad can't hear anything. And every time my dad said what, she would get frustrated. I'm like, well, he's wearing a hearing aid. If I can't hear, what am I supposed to do? But I mean, we could put the closed caption on and I never ask it to be turned up.
Okay.
What do you say?
We'll see.
I have to just strain to hear. But my dad kind of reads lips. I feel like I need to do that. And then I would know more what's going on in these TV shows that I'm not allowed to turn up. But Katie and I, we do. You know what our go-to is, Robbie? What show we watch more than any other show?
Worst Cooks in America.
No. By the way, I don't get Worst Cooks in America because they're clearly not the worst cooks. If they're a cook, they're not. Like, I'm a worse cook than whoever these idiots are. But I've never watched that. We do watch some Chops, but no, Cops.
Bad Boys.
We love Cops.
Yeah.
Oh, Live PD. Live PD is actually almost a better version of Cops.
I don't know. Here's why I like Cops better. Because it's so dated, there's two things that are hilarious. The first thing is these guys are allowed to just beat the shit out of people. Right? Yeah. I mean, this is the good old days when if you were a perp, you were going to pay. Right? The other thing, and also I like when they're like, don't drag me, don't put, they, you know, as soon as they yank them out of the car and they put a knee in their back, they're trying to obviously make sure that they're not at risk. That's why they do that. But if they had a video of some of the things we see on Cops today, those cops would be in trouble.
Yeah, I love it.
The other thing I think is funny is the attitude swing on marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you watch some of the cops in the early 80s, like, get down. We found this on him. There's literally like one tiny little morsel of pot.
Little bud.
Yes. And they're like, this guy's taking a ride downtown. You know, anyway, it's going to be legal in a year.
The streets are safer.
Now that weed's off. But we have you, Robbie, have you watched the documentary Dope? Have you watched that?
No.
Check that out just for Baltimore.
Only watched season one, episode two.
Yeah, they have, of course, they're talking about buying heroin. And this was what I thought was really interesting. If their drug kills somebody, that's good for business.
Mm-hmm. Fentanyl.
They want it to be as strong as possible. So if they know that there's something out there that's killing people, they're like, good, that's, they don't want to necessarily die, although a lot of these guys probably do or girls, but they want something to kick their ass is what they want.
That's really screwed up.
Well, anyway, Watch Dope. So Katie and I printed out a compatibility quiz because, you know, there's big steps that are coming and we want to see how compatible we are. We'll score it. And then we'll see if, you know, the decisions that we're getting ready to make with the rest of our lives make sense, according to this quiz, all right?
So if we fail it.
Yeah. Save me a lot of money. Well, let's see if we fail it first.
Okay.
All right. You have some of the questions to yourself, right? All right. So I'm going to ask the beginning of it. It says, who does your significant other talk to on the phone the most? Now, we'll guess who each other talks to the most. Well, clearly.
I put Rob for you.
Well, you're not counting yourself, right?
Well, no, I didn't count you as an option. I thought that the question was kind of...
That's fair. Now, I talked to Katie clearly the most, but then I have Rob.
Okay.
Katie not close, then Rob. But for you, who you talked to on the phone the most? It's either your mom or your dad. I'm going to say your mom.
I'm such a loser.
Your mom? What? Because I talked to Rob?
No, it's definitely my mom.
Okay.
For sure.
Gotcha. All right. Now, I'm not sure who you're going to say for me, but I know this. What celebrity does your significant other most resemble? I said Farrah Abrams.
The porn star from Teen Mom?
Yep.
Oh, God.
But is that wrong?
No, that, I mean, that's what people have said, yeah.
Don't you think that's the celebrity you most resemble?
Unfortunately.
I didn't say that you act or do the things that she does.
I mean, I probably do.
You probably do, but you do them in consensually and not for money.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I put Hugh Laurie.
I don't really think I look like Hugh Laurie, but I look as much like him as anybody.
Okay.
Does that count, Robbie?
No.
But Farrah Abrams does. That is who she looks the most like. All right.
Okay.
All right. So this one's tough. It says, when your significant other says, honey, they're playing our song, what song are they playing? I know her answer, and I know the real answer. Okay? Okay. Her answer is In Your Eyes.
No, it's not.
But the real answer is Tupelo Honey.
I put Tupelo Honey.
Okay, okay. Oh, good. All right. So we got that one. There we go. All right. And see, we both agree. Well, I only said In Your Eyes because that's the song that you think, but that song, you can't say that I have a song about your eyes.
Okay.
But you were right. You got it right.
Okay. Or maybe you got it right.
Right. Okay. What is your significant other's favorite color? To wear, I believe it's black, but her favorite color is purple because of the Ravens. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, okay. I put black. Yeah. But that's fine.
Okay.
I think it's acceptable. I put blue for you.
It's not. Green is my favorite color.
Damn it. Shit.
Okay.
Never getting a ring.
What is the name of your significant other's childhood pet?
Now, you didn't ask my parents about this, did you?
No, but I know a pet. Spice was from when you were a child.
Oh, that's correct.
Yep.
Wow. So I put Merrick or Grinelda.
Merrick and Grinelda are both our childhood pets. Grinelda is our oldest pet, so that would have been the great answer.
Okay, perfect.
All right, cool. Got it.
Oh, my God.
I think I've gotten them all right so far. Okay.
What is something that makes your spouse cry?
So you have to say something that makes me
cry.
And
by spouse, I mean significant other.
Okay, what do you think for me?
So I put movies and specifically Shawshank Redemption.
All right, so you got that. That's the nail. I put me.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, cool. All right. When was the last time you and your significant other had a long, passionate kiss? I was a little embarrassed by this because I don't think we had a long, passionate kiss this past weekend.
No, I don't think so.
So I believe it was probably the weekend prior.
I put last weekend.
Yep. All right. Look at this. All right. We're killing it here.
Wow. What one item of clothing does your significant other wear that you just can't stand?
So this is an easy one for me. It's my black Adidas jacket with the white stripes
down.
Yeah,
I wrote jacket shirt.
Yes. So when I wear...
It's not just that. It's any time that you wear a zip-up jacket as a shirt. Correct.
Yeah.
The one that's in your license photo.
Yes. And for you, I put nothing. I don't believe there's anything that you wear that I don't like.
Aw.
What did you write?
Well, I was thinking sweats, but...
No, there's nothing. Okay. I've never complained about anything she wore.
All right. Well, can't get them all.
Okay. We know we're going to get this one. What is your significant other's most irritating habit?
Yeah, it puts hacking / how he eats popcorn. So.
I put spitting. That's what I got. And what's my most annoying habit for you? Go ahead.
Is it trying to get your ass kicked?
That's not a habit. Oh. I didn't have one. Probably.
I mean, you can tell me. You know what it is? It's biting my finger.
I do hate that.
Yeah. I bite my finger, so.
All right. Who do you think is smarter or has a higher IQ, you or your significant other? Katie's going to say me.
100% Joe.
Okay.
You also agree.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can say it. It's fine.
Well, yeah, sure. All right. Who has a better sense of humor?
Joe.
I put me, but it is closer than you think.
No.
Okay. Well, I put me, so we got that right, too. This one is embarrassing. Would your significant other agree that size doesn't matter?
Yeah, no, size does not matter.
Yes, I put doesn't matter. Oh, I hate my life. Oh, sorry. Who has a crazier family?
Me.
This one is close, but I said your family.
Yeah, 100%. Okay.
Okay.
Although Robbie can be a little crazy.
Yeah, Robbie's who I thought about when, you know, when I thought about nuts.
But the rest of my family trumps it.
Yeah. On the field of love, which penalty would your significant other say you would most likely be called on? Illegal use of hands. No, she doesn't care about that. Motion in the backfield. Doesn't care about that. Rushing. Clearly it's rushing. Although I don't like this question because rushing is not a penalty.
I did choose rushing.
Yes, rushing is correct.
I don't mind the others.
Now, this one is fun because before I answer, it says, what is the weirdest place we've ever had sex? So I was talking to Scott Apple at work today. Robbie, and I already told Katie this, so she can't guess. Where do you think the weirdest place Scott Apple's ever had sex was? Take a guess. Scott Apple, by the way, for those listeners, and I can't imagine there's many, is a coworker of mine. Go ahead.
Treehouse.
Nope. Closer to where he would normally have sex. Guess again.
The floor of the bedroom.
Nope. Closer to the place that he would normally have sex.
The bed.
That's correct. The weirdest place he's ever had sex is in his own bed.
What?
God.
That's not weird.
Well, what's that if that's the only place you've ever had sex?
I hate his life.
Now, can I tell you what he said? He said, yes, it was in his bed, but they had their heads where their feet normally are and their feet where their heads normally are.
Oh, my God. That's so weird.
I said the weirdest place we've ever had sex. I mean, we've had sex on the beach in between those things, but I said the weirdest place is my parents' house.
Yeah, I said the beach.
Either way.
I mean,
well, we just a matter of what we thought was weirder, Robbie. We knew.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Did we get any wrong? Okay,
yeah,
keep
we got
going. We got
wrong.
More.
What is the strangest gift your significant other has given you? I have mine.
Let me think.
And I've always thought this was very strange that you gave to me, but I never said anything.
Okay, let me think. The strangest gift that you ever gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think if there's anything that you've given me that I thought was strange. I'm not doing well. Do you have something in mind
that
you gave me?
I did give you like a dual shower head. That was kind of weird.
No. I'd say the weirdest thing was Christopher Cross tickets.
Oh, that was weird. But only because you had told me a couple weeks prior how much you enjoyed the story on Howard Stern.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, oh, he's coming to town. Maybe he likes it. And then I got him and I immediately knew.
But he really wasn't coming to town.
It was only like an hour away.
It was in Philadelphia or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, sorry.
He's going to be at Ram's Head. The tickets are ridiculously expensive.
Well, they are? Well,
I won't be getting those. So.
Yeah, it's too weird. All right, the weirdest gift I ever got you.
Do you want to try to guess?
Go ahead. Just what is it?
A Raven's toothbrush.
Is that weird? I think.
Yeah.
No, hold on.
It was a Christmas present.
Yeah, but they were just stocking stuffers. I also put Raven's electrical tape in there, remember?
Yeah.
Never used it.
Robbie, do you think it's weird that he got me a toothbrush?
No, I don't think it's weird if it was a Raven's toothbrush. I think okay. That's cute.
What if it was a Reach standard?
Yeah, that would be weird.
He also got me a really strange candle. It wasn't scented. It was like...
Oh, that one that wrapped around?
Yeah.
And never... And it was actually kind of a cool gift. It was
okay.
One that you kept moving it as it burned for like a year if you wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead. We give good gifts. That's the point of the story.
Okay. Complete this sentence. It must be true that opposites attract because my significant other and I are total opposites when it comes to blank.
Honestly, they're not much.
Hey.
But I guess it's music.
I put life expectancy.
Yeah, that's true. That would be. You're right. That would be the most opposite. The idea that I will be in a home when you are my age.
I couldn't think of anything. So life expectancy is my answer.
I thought about this today. When Katie is my age, Robbie, I'm going to be 5 years younger than Gramps.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy.
I'll try to keep myself in shape. I'm not going to just eat gravy all day.
Well, you know, like I've had friends who say, well, that's kind of nice. You can just be ugly, but you're still younger. Like I could just get really fat and ugly, but I'm still younger.
Yeah, that's true.
I won't do that.
Oh, thanks.
Not that it matters, but anyway. Okay. Three more questions. If your significant other could have any job, what would he or she choose?
Okay, you would want to work at like an animal shelter or with saving pets.
Yeah, definitely.
Or dogs, right?
Yeah.
Even though Robbie screamed at you because you wanted to get a golden doodle.
I wanted to get a puppy from a breeder.
And Robbie literally thought you were the Antichrist. And he literally, I've never heard this in regular, he was having a conversation, which, by the way, he could have made sense. He could have said, well, you know, those dogs, they're going to find homes. These dogs, they're going to kill a lot of them, blah, blah, blah. Instead, he said, adopt, don't shop.
No, he sounded like he literally said the slogan, like a Trump protester. He yelled, adopt, don't shop.
Yes, yes. He started chanting.
In the middle of the living room. So,
Robbie, you literally said adopt, don't shop when having a discussion with a real person.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. What else?
So,
what's my dream job?
I put blow job.
That's true. Okay, she knows me.
It's either blow job or no job.
Yeah, actually, it's funny we talk about that, about winning the lottery. I would immediately stop working. You're always like, well, I have to do something with my time. And I'm like, no. So you're right. No job is the answer, is my dream job. Winning the lottery. Money for nothing.
Your 1A would be a blow job.
It's true.
Complete this sentence. Not many people know it, but my significant other is really good at blank.
Singing.
Oh. Okay. I thought it was going to be like sports or something because I'm not that good at singing.
You are good at singing. You are good at sports. Katie played sports all her life, including in college. So what about me? What do people not know?
I mean, here's the deal. You're so public that everyone really knows what you're good at.
Kind of a cop out.
I'm sorry. You're good at hanging out with people my age.
It's true.
Like you kind of just fit in.
We went to a party at her friend's boyfriend's apartment.
Oh yeah, you were the hit of the party.
I thought I was the life of the party.
For sure.
All right.
You also said in the middle of the party there was a girl and a guy who had been dating for like 2 years, and you said, "How come you guys aren't engaged?" And kind of gave them some shit for it, and they got engaged the next weekend. It's not a joke. It really happened. The next weekend they got engaged.
I have a feeling that was going to happen anyway. I don't think he ran out and bought a ring in a week.
Maybe. Anyway. All right, last question. This is actually kind of an interesting question because we do it all the time at the Newly Dead game. So what movie best describes your sex life?
Cocoon?
Yeah.
Trolls 2?
No Country
the
for
Old Men. The Disaster Artist.
Yeah, that's
a good one. The Quaker Oats Box.
Quaker Oats Box isn't a movie? What is that?
Well, it should be.
What's your
in 3D?
Do you have a real answer?
One man and a baby. I don't. Cocoon was my real answer. Although you said No Country for Old Men, so that might work.
I put Toy Story.
Aw, thanks. Are you alluding to having a dildo shoved in you?
Oh my God.
I'm just wondering what she means by that.
Yeah. I
All
think
right.
Actually, what I was.
Cool.
To
All right. Then I think the Toy Story is the best answer.
Should we tally these up?
What about you? You didn't give me the movie you thought. Oh, you said Toy Story.
I just said Toy Story. We just talked about it. You're already losing it, Joe.
I'm like Gramps. I don't remember anything. All right. I have, out of 20 questions, I have it somewhere around 16, 17. What does that say?
We are extremely compatible.
Oh, look at that. Yes.
It says we should continue on living together.
Well, that's good, Katie. Thank you so much for joining me. Katie also puts up with a lot of old men dropping by. And as I had mentioned at the opening of the show, Tim came and hung out with us to watch the games, and he brought a dozen Boston cream donuts.
Oh,
and I was wondering your thoughts on that.
I mean, I was offended.
He did
first
say,
all,
women, he said, can I bring anything? And you said nothing.
Got it. So, first of all, the Patriots are playing, and nobody wants the Patriots to win. And the Patriots are playing, and he brought Boston cream. 12 Boston cream donuts,
right.
And he's the cooler. So basically, yeah. Secondly, when you come to someone's house and there's multiple people there, you're supposed to bring a variety of things because you don't know for sure what everybody likes. But he just made the assumption that I like a specific donut.
Well, that everyone likes. He even said that. I thought everyone liked Boston cream. One thing I didn't mention at the top of the show, have you looked in that box?
Is there like none left?
There's one donut left.
Well, I didn't need them.
Neither did I.
The boys must have destroyed them.
I think somebody ate about 6 donuts.
Yeah.
It's a 7 or 8 in terms of weirdness. I mean, if he had at least gotten half of it.
Exactly.
If he loves Boston cream and the other half was a variety, all Boston cream is ridiculous.
It's weird.
He even told us the story. When he went to the Dunkin' Donuts, he goes, hey, I want 12 Boston cream. He goes, you want 12 Boston cream? He goes, yeah, 12 Boston cream. The guy goes, you want 12 the same donut? He's like, yeah, he goes, this right here. You want? He said he asked him three times to clarify because it was so fucking ridiculous. It's never happened before.
If you go get a dozen of anything, do you always get the same thing?
I mean, eggs.
Yeah, but I mean, when you go to get bagels, do you get a dozen plain bagels?
No, I mean, yes, it's so strange. It reminds me, I talk about this about Scott Apple all the time. Scott Apple goes to the Dunkin' Donuts and says, give me 12 assorted. And the reason he says that is because he is too lazy to pick the donuts out. Now, you can't really give him shit, although I do, because he's very considerate by bringing these donuts in. But he's also like, fuck you, you'll eat what whatever they got. You know, I will put no thought into what I do.
But Tim's is worse because he basically said, I'm going to bring 12 of my favorite donuts. I don't give a shit about the fact that you might not like it. At least Scott gives variety and says, take your pick.
And you're right. Tim's is worse.
It is.
It is worse. But Scott will bring a dozen donuts in. Of course, this is their like, oh, here's this dick we give all our shitty donuts to. Whenever he comes in, oh, here you go. Here's another sour cream. Here's a peanut. Whatever, right? So
I like peanut.
I know. Peanut's good. So he does that. Hey, here's the one that looks like a tractor tire. Whatever the fuck that thing is. There's always
the
two of those.
The D's on it.
Yes, he got that. It was white with the pink and orange D's on it. He got that. What he'll do is he'll bring it in and there'll be two chocolates in there, right? And then he'll take one of the chocolates. So he likes chocolate too. Do you understand? He's a dick.
Tim is like Boston or bust.
That's right. But I'd rather have 12 Boston creams than what Scott brings. I'm not saying what Tim does is more inconsiderate, but I would rather have the option of eating a Boston cream than hoping that there's a chocolate donut left. By the way, there's a donut, I swear. It's not quite gray. It's like light green and blue together. It literally looks like a gray donut.
It's a blueberry donut.
No, I know what a blueberry donut is. This is frosted. This thing is solid and it's filled with something.
Oh, it has stuff inside.
Yeah, it's a donut that's frosted with that color. But Scott, every time he gets it, it's in there. And I guarantee you, they're like, you know what? Thank God we finally have somebody to take these shitty donuts, because nobody's ordering this donut. But the last time he got them, there were two in there.
Yeah, but how mad is Dunkin' Donuts that Tim came in and just wiped out their Boston creams?
How many people go into Dunkin' Donuts and they go, oh, you don't have any Boston creams, and they leave? Nobody. Once you're in there, you're resigned or whatever. But yeah, that's, by the way, if I went in, I would get a Boston cream.
But how weird is it that he went in at 3 o'clock on a Sunday and got 12 Boston creams?
He said the usual when he walked in.
Whatever. The Patriots suck.
Unfortunately, they don't. All right, well, shout out to Chris Restivo. Chris Restivo is the world's biggest Vikings fan. And I try to think about what would give me because I like when great things happen for Chris, but I also like the misery. It's kind of hilarious. So I've talked about this before, that I either want the Vikings to win the Super Bowl for Chris, or I want them to lose in some almost the way that they beat the Saints the week before. That's how I wanted them to lose, because it's funnier because of Chris's love. But what happened was very anticlimactic. Robbie, do you even know what happened in the game?
Of course, I always watch the championship.
They got destroyed.
Yeah, well, they marched right down the field and scored, the Vikings, immediately. They marched right down the field, scored a touchdown.
Ever.
Effortlessly. And then they never scored again. And then we're just dominated by the Eagles. So that actually made me feel a little bit bad for Chris. I take no joy in their loss.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad for Chris.
Vikings are number one.
Well, that's the show. I hope you guys got your Gramp and Katie's fix next week. I'm going to have comedian friend Justin Schlegel in the studio. Also, if you are in, I don't know if I can even plug this, it's sold out, but there are standing room only tickets available to see us at, is it called Robbie, Amp by Strathmore?
That is the name of the venue.
How are you making people stand?
Yeah. I think about that, because if somebody goes there and goes, oh, I'd like to go to the show, and they see that all the seated tickets are gone, do they buy standing?
No. I mean, if you're there, if you've gotten ready and you go and you think you can buy them at the door, I wonder if you're like, well, do you want to stand? I'm sure some people will be like, yeah, let's just stand. But if anybody? I go online and I see standing room only, I'm immediately looking for something else to do.
Like Jam and Java, it's a music venue primarily, so they're accustomed to selling standing tickets for a music show. But nobody wants to stand in a murder mystery, but there were people standing last time, and there were people standing at Jam and Java.
Well, I know, remember this one in particular has these tables. They're not tables. I would call it like a bar. It's lined the room. Yeah. it lines the room. So when you're standing, you can still put drinks and things on this bar in front of you. It's a lot like that Bright Box situation.
Yeah, I didn't remember that, but if that's the case, that's awesome.
Yeah, but
I would stand for that. Would you? It's an hour and a half shot. I don't know. It's a pain. Can you eat? Yeah. Can you eat in the venue?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
If they went to the first one and they remember how good it was, people will stand.
Yeah, but the thing that's weird about this show is we have 7 shows. We've been in that room one time and we're doing the same show. It's so, I mean, it's sold out, but still, it's, I thought that that was, they asked for that. They said,
I actually think this is one of the coolest venues. Not coolest in the sense that the crowd was, I mean, the crowd was great, but
it looked cool. Like, with
it's
the
like
lights
the
and
top
the, yeah.
of a building and it's all glass windows. It yep. looks very, it's very chic.
All right. Well,
unlike the show.
Hey. All right. Well, that's the show, guys. Again, shout out to my boys that are over in the Middle East. Killing it. I'm getting status updates from Rob. I know those guys are doing a great job over there.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, Mr. Mayor. And he will be back not next week when I have Justin Schlegel here, but the week after to tell us all those stories. And that's it. Have a great night, guys.
Bye.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.